in the lunchtime edition. $100 million Barbados-based ferry service now due to commence operations here by mid-year, with an announcement to be made soon. Charnock residents in shock over the death of a popular mechanic crushed by a car he was working on. A new bill to protect the elderly to be laid in Parliament next week, and Gwilyns elect their first female premier. Good afternoon. I'm Stetson Babb. This is The Latest. $100 million Barbados-based ferry service is now due to commence operations by mid-year, with an announcement to be made soon. This has been disclosed by Dr. Andre Thomas, Chairman and CEO of the private sector initiative Connect Carib, which is to employ 180 people across the region, operating three vessels. Dr. Thomas says regulatory hurdles have delayed the commencement of operations, but that significant progress has been made, with strong support from the CARICOM heads of government who recently met in Barbados. He had most recently stated that the ferry operations would commence in the first quarter of this year, but says operational issues are still being worked through.
We are absolutely committed. The project is on track. However, we are working very closely with the governments to implement this so that it is successful. Everybody wins and it's able to impact the region. And the level of collaboration is at the highest level it has ever been. The total investment will be $50 million to execute this project. It's $50 million US with an initial staff of 180 people across the region, but with a significant contingent in Barbados.
Dr. Thomas explained that having to deal with multiple states that are separate regulatory jurisdictions presents a range of challenges. He adds that there are also matters in relation to port facilities, and therefore the service may have to be implemented in stages.
So let me give a practical example. We are bringing in both goods, people, and cargo in the vessels that we have, which is not something they're familiar with. Some governments have to determine what port we can use, so they have to have the protocols to deal with that. Then we have goods that we're bringing in that are agri-goods. Some ports that we're going to go to don't necessarily have the facilities for that. So when we really now come and say, okay, we're getting ready to start, there are so many things that have to be in alignment. And so what we have realized is that in order to do this well, it's going to have to be incremental, because there are things that we are not in control of, that the governments are in control of, that the stakeholders are in control of. But the wonderful thing is we're working together.
That's the chairman and CEO of Connect Carib, Dr. Andre Thomas. The death of a Christchurch mechanic who was crushed while working on a car has left his neighbors in shock. The freak accident occurred at the residence of the victim, 67-year-old Michael Eversley, at Charnock No. 2 Christchurch. A man walking by noticed Mr. Eversley trapped under the vehicle about 4:40 p.m. and contacted the emergency services. But ambulance service personnel who arrived at the scene found no signs of life. When Starcom Network News visited the area this morning, neighbors spoke of their sadness about what transpired. They spoke highly of Mr. Eversley.
Well, Mike is a very nice, pleasant person. You could call him in any time, especially if your vehicle breaks down. You could always come and ask, Mike, could you come and look at this for me and see if anything is thing? And he would come, he would assist you. And if it's a problem that he can't fix, he would tell you, well, come and go with him to get the part or what it is. But he was a very pleasant person. Every morning I pass, he would say, good morning. He said, good morning, have a good day. He say, you too. You understand? And yesterday I passed and see him spoke to him and went long. And by the time I get back here, Mike, they're gone. I mean, it really hurts. It really, really hurts. We were greatly missing.
When he comes to work on mornings, he would always greet me with a good morning, ask me how am I, and I would tell him how am I. I would ask him likewise how he is, and he would tell me he good, and so on. Because he looked after the old man that opposite him, and he always asked me how the patient that I look after, how he is, and so on. And I would tell him how he is. He said that's good, you're taking good care of him, and so on. I would miss him a lot, because he was a very good man. I know much about him, but according to how I see how he acts when I come to work, it tells me that he is a nice man.
Neighbors of the late Michael Eversley in the Lunchtime Edition. Well, a bill aimed at protecting the elderly will be tabled in Parliament next month. This announcement has been made by the Minister of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, Kirk Humphrey, during the launch of the National Senior Games earlier today. Emphasizing the country's aging population, Mr. Humphrey said the bill will strengthen the government's ability to safeguard the well-being of senior citizens.
We just received the draft of the elderly bill, and that bill will be laid in Parliament, thankfully now given the state, before the end of March. And that bill speaks to the protection of elderly persons, it speaks to the empowerment of elderly persons, it speaks to the rights of elderly persons, or senior persons, I should say. And that having that bill allows us to do things that we can't now do. People come to me all the time, they say, Minister, I know so-and-so is being abused. The NAB doesn't have the power right now to go into anybody's house. They can't remove an elderly person from a position of abuse. But the new bill allows us certain privileges, certain authority, done under, obviously, a very strict regime that does not allow anybody to take advantage of anybody, but similar to what we do in the Child Protection Bill.
Meantime, Mr. Humphrey wants the public to support the National Senior Games. He expressed concern over declining interest in recent years.
I recall the buzz on the games, the press around the games, the packed national stadium, people coming out to cheer on the athletes and so on. And there's certainly in my mind a view that we should really do things to attract the kind of support that seniors deserve. Over the last few years, notwithstanding that I think we have some of the most elite senior athletes in the region, surely, I think that we haven't been able to get the crowds to come out and support them the way that they should be supported. And my view is that the senior athletes put a lot of time and effort into training and to preparing themselves for the games. And the kind of shape that these athletes are in as they get older is impressive.
He announced that the event will be hosted on two separate days, with one day dedicated to track events. Anglians have elected their first female head of government. Cora Richardson-Hodge has led the main opposition Anguilla United Front to a convincing victory in yesterday's general election. Mrs. Richardson-Hodge tells Starcom Network News that she's modeled her career after Barbados's Prime Minister Mia Amor-Maltley.
We all admire Mia Motley for the work that she has done in Barbados, her representation of the Caribbean in larger settings. And so we certainly, each and every one of us, and certainly as a female and as a Caribbean female, and I certainly look up to Mia Motley. It is with great pride that I joined the ranks of the few female leaders throughout the Caribbean. But it is also an opportunity for us to set the tone. And I believe that throughout the world, there is a general feeling that female leaders bring something different to the table. I would certainly be interested in taking on whatever advice that she is able to provide.
Anguilla's first female head of government, Cora Richardson-Hodge. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio likely to visit the Caribbean for talks with regional leaders less than a week after Caribbean community leaders signaled their intention to hold talks at the highest level with the U.S. And Oscar-winning U.S. actor Gene Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, and their dog have been found dead at their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. In a wide-ranging career spanning more than six decades, Hackman won two Academy Awards for his work on The French Connection and Unforgiven. A statement from the Santa Fe County Sheriff in New Mexico said they can confirm that both Gene Hackman and his wife were found deceased Wednesday afternoon at their residence on Sunset Trail. This is an active investigation. However, at this time, we do not believe that foul play was a factor, they said. Our top stories. $100 million Barbados-based ferry service, Connect Caribe, now due to commence operations here by mid-year, with an announcement to be made soon. Charnock's Christchurch residents in shock over the death of a popular mechanic crushed by a car he was working on yesterday. A new bill to protect the elderly to be laid in Parliament next week. Meantime, the minister responsible for elder affairs urges the public to support the senior games. Anguillans elect their first female premier. The U.S. Secretary of State likely to visit the Caribbean next month. And Hollywood legend Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog found dead at their home. The Lunchtime Edition from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Stetson Babb. Good afternoon.
Don't miss the latest with the Starcom Network News at your fingertips. Listen or catch up on starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp, add me to 246-2566-397. To receive breaking news, like and follow at Starcom Network News on Instagram and Facebook now.